Okay, reading from the Jiva Dharma, chapter 33, Madhurya Rasa Vichar Parikya Bhav. Om Jnana Timaram Dasya Mulitam Yena Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Vayam Rupa Kadabhayam Vidati Sapadantitam Pancha Kopa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Baye Vajra Patitanam Bhavane Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from Vrindavan. I can't even express in words how relieved and happy I am to be in the Holy Dham, where bhakti is so thick you can practically cut it with a knife, really. And since I've come here, I really hit the ground with my feet running. Raghunath has a group of 42 people here. They are just so wonderful and just so Krishna conscious. Even if it's not their faith, it's quite impressive. But yesterday I went to Govardhan Hill. It was quite wonderful. And we're just having a really nice time. Now, there's a few of us left on this, and there's several reasons for that. One is due to the increased intensity of my traveling and preaching, I haven't been steady. And I know one thing that's, a lot of people have sanghas and they kind of peter out, but I create habits in people by having them so regularly. And if you don't have them regularly, people don't get the sanskar. And it's difficult to keep that discipline. I think the other reason is that the subject matter is not, it's rasa, it's not understanding, it's relishing. And really, most of us, we need to read for understanding, otherwise relishing doesn't have so much relevance to us. But my nature is when I begin something, I continue it. So I'm going to continue through this very deep subject, which even Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur didn't really discuss that extensively because he didn't really see the relevance. Anyway, saying that, I think to the extent of the limits of our realization, we will appreciate it. And we know in the story that we're following the lives of people coming to Krishna consciousness after the one generation after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And now we're following the spiritual development, and I think it'll go towards the end of the book, of one particular person. Because the initial persons that came, we were just dealing with who they were and how the guru dealt with their obstacles or doubts to coming to Krishna consciousness. And now Bhaktivinoda Thakur in this novel is concentrating on how someone advances in Krishna consciousness through Raghunuga Bhakti and all the way up to the level of prema. So now they're in Puri and they're studying with Gopal Guru Goswami, who was given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through Sarup Damodar, the exoteric, the external practice of Raga Nuga Bhakti, more the ritualistic, not so much the ritualistic, because that's not Raga Nuga Bhakti, but not just the mood, but the forms and understandings we have to cultivate that mood. So now we're also, it's not just Vrijanath, it's Vijay, its uncle, has also come with him. So I'm not even going to go over what we discussed. You could always just read that. Vijay, I have understood the mood and attributes of Sri Krishna as the Nayaka. Nayaka means the hero. So one part, one element of the component of rasa is vibhav, alamban, vishaya. It means one part of rasa is understanding and hearing about and appreciating the object of love, which is Krishna, and specifically Krishna as a nayak or hero. We discussed that there are different types of heroes. There's a statesman who's a hero. There's a romantic person who's a hero. There's a person who is arrogant and is a hero. There's a person who's chivalrous and is a hero. Dhiradatta, Dhiradatta, Dhira Prashant, Dhira Lalita. So you discuss all these types of, and the relevance is that for people who are advanced, very advanced in Krishna consciousness, this would give the substance to their meditation. They can meditate on Krishna Leela. And meditating on Krishna Leela is not just meditating on the forms of Krishna Leela. It's meditating on the moods of Krishna Leela and the perspectives of Krishna according to those moods. So someone would learn that. And then because he had a depth, or he or she had a depth of Krishna consciousness and was experiencing something themselves, they had the frame of reference to actually understand what was being discussed. Because it's not just seeing or hearing things enables us to have understanding. The intellect has to be involved. And if the intellect is filled with misconceptions, then those misconceptions will be projected on what one hears to skew or change it from what the teacher is actually taught. So I'm just giving you the context of that relevance. So Krishna is a hero. We've also heard that Krishna performs Nitya Leela in both Pati and Upapati Bhav. Pati Bhav is the conjugal relation of Krishna as my husband, and Upapati Bhav is that Krishna is my lover. He performs pastimes in Dwarka in Pati Bhav when he wants the love of, let's give it to a husband, and Radhyapuri in Upapati Bhav, and in Vrindavan, the unwedded love, parakya, is swakya. It's the love with swakya, I do with my own. And parakya is I do with another. My own means my husband. Our Krishna is upapati, so it is essential for us to know about the Vrajaramanis, the charming young gopis, Goswami. Most of the damsels of Vraja with whom Rajendranandana Shyamasundar performs pastimes are in Parakya Bhav. So the conjugal relationship is Parakya. It's not wedded in Vrindavan. Of course, this does not defy ethics. because everyone's eternal relationship is with Krishna. So there's no sense, really, of illegality. Because everyone belongs to Krishna. But from our perspective, from our perverted intelligence, this seems like something can seem like something highly immoral, as we prejudge it according to our experience or understanding of these things in the world. Our Krishna is Upapatni, so it is, okay. He said it's Parakya because Madhurya Ras does not fully develop without Parakya. The Ras of the charming ladies of Dwarkapuri remains limited by their marital relationship, whereas the Rasa of the female residents of Vraja, who possess that Shuddha Kam, which Krishna derives the utmost happiness, is unrestricted, Akunta. So again, it's kamarup, it's the form of lust, but it's not lust, it's a form of lust in terms of the form we know in the material world. And the form we know in the material world is the intensity for sensual satisfaction, but the form in the spiritual world is the intensity of spiritual satisfaction. There's no sense of selfishness. The bhav, the mood is so different. It's all how to give pleasure to God. Vijay, what is the purport of this? Goswami Sri Rudra, who is highly knowledgeable in the subject of Shingara Ras, that's conjugal, states that the supreme weapons of Cupid, Kandarpa, are obstacles such as the contrary moods of women, Vamita, the extreme difficulty in meeting with women, Dulaba, because of the prohibitions that society imposes. Chanaka Pandit has stated that the Nayaka, the hero's heart, becomes more deeply attached when he is forbidden to meet his beloved and when the doe-eyed beloved is difficult to attain. Look, although Krishna is Atmaram at the time of Rasalila, he manifested himself to many sarupas as they were gopis and then performed lila with them. Every sadhaka should follow rasa lila. Here the special instruction is that if the sadhakas desire auspiciousness, they should enter this rasa lila as a bhakta, but they should never imitate Krishna. In other words, they should enter the lila only by becoming a follower of the gopis, by adopting the mood of the gopis. The mood of the gopis. And what the mood of the gopis are, and their assistance, Manjari, what their mood is selfless love. There's only an adoption of this type of form, which is the adivas. There's only an adoption of this type of form. There's only an adoption of this form to please, not to enjoy, or to enjoy love, not to enjoy sense gratification. See, what Gopi Bhava is, it's a Bhava. It's a Bhava of intense selflessness, intense love. And that form in the material world is of intense selfishness, but the form is of intensity. And the form, they adopt that form of the intensity to love Krishna. Vijay, can you kindly explain more elaborately the subject of Gopi Bhava? Nandananda Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, is a gopa, and he does not perform amorous pastimes with anyone except with the gopis. The sadhaka who is eligible for Sringara Ras should engage in Krishna Bhavana. The sadhaka who is eligible for Sringara Ras should engage in Krishna Bhajan with the same bhav with which the gopis render loving service to Krishna. In the course of this bhajan, the sadhaka should meditate on himself as a vrajagopi. The sadhaka should consider himself to be the maid servant of some extremely fortunate vrajavasini, female residents of Vraj. And under her guidance should render service to Radha and Krishna. One cannot possibly awaken rasa unless one considers himself Purota, that is, married to a gopa other than Krishna. In this Purota Abhiman, the self-conception of being married to a gopi other than Krishna, that is the specific dharma of the Vraja gopis. Now, basically, what he's saying, this is very, very advanced meditation. It can't be imitated, because if one doesn't really have that bhav and that realization and that understanding, in the name of meditating on Radha and Krishna's pastimes, one will be meditating on something actually quite mundane. Instead of becoming free from material desires,
one's material desires will increase.
But if one has faith in these pastimes, and faith means both our trust and our knowledge and understanding and the realization of these, and one is actually free, sufficiently free from material desires, and it's just hankering for the service of Krishna, then these advanced meditations may come by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Or they may come by the mercy of a great Vaishnava. They may come even by one's practice. They may manifest by the mercy of Krishna through the heart. And most lines of most spiritual lines, Vaishnava lines, not necessarily even Gaudiya Vaishnavas, predominantly the way in which our eternal relationship with Krishna manifests is by cultivating the devotion and Krishna appearing within the heart. It's just like if one cooks a meal, one can serve the deities by by cooking the meal. One can serve Krishna by cooking the meal and then offering it, or one can serve Krishna the meal by taking the meal that the cook is offered and offering it to Krishna. If the Guru is merciful, the Guru is sufficiently realized, then we don't have to construct these things ourselves within the mind. Our relationship with Krishna will be given. So this is what Rupa Goswami has written in the Ujjvala Nilamani. Maya Kalita Tadrik Stri Shilanindri Nanush. I can't even, my eyes are too bad to see the screen right now. The Vraja Devis, this is the quote, who through the influence of Yogamaya consider themselves married to gopis other than Krishna, never come in physical contact with their dharmika wedded husbands. So basically what it's saying is, the fact that they're married is actually a mental conception. Or, somehow or other, there's no contact with their husbands. At the time of Gopi's Abhisar,
rendezvous with Krishna, and so on. The gold ladies in their houses see forms of the gopis, the gopis, the cowherd boys in their houses see forms of the gopis that exactly resemble their own wives. These forms are fabricated by Yogamaya so that the gopis will think to themselves, our wives are right here at home. And they never have the opportunity to be jealous and feel enmity towards Krishna. So Yogamaya arranges it that somehow the forms of their wives are manifest in their house. The Braja Devis never had physical contact with their lawfully wedded husbands, who were all contrived by Yogamaya. Each of the Braja Gopis' husbands is the only manifestation from their respective father in the Goka Lila. So in Goloka, not Gokula, that's the planet of Krishna, not when he appeared on this earth, the husbands are only a manifestation of their bhava, or their desire to serve Krishna in Panakya bhava requires that they're married, so that Krishna is their upapati, not their legal husband. Therefore, in that bhav, to serve Krishna in the intensity of unwedded love, which is the most degrading thing in this world, we know that this world is just a reflection of the spiritual world, like a tree on the bank of the river, the highest thing, which is the top of the tree, is the lowest thing in the reflection of the river, because it's opposites. If it were not so, it would naturally be impossible for the unprecedented Parakya Ras to manifest because of the contrariness and inaccessibility obstructions, social prohibitions, here and so on. So Parakya Ras requires that Vamaka, we discussed that before, that it's against social norm, and Dulabhata, it's inaccessible. So for it to be against social norm and to be inaccessible, it has to be a concept that I am a husband. That is making it illegal and making it inaccessible and allowing me to have this parakya bhav, the desire for another besides my own. The nayaka bhav of the Braja Ras cannot be attained without such a conception. Lakshmi Ji of Vaikuntha is an example of this. She can't have she cannot have Krishna. She has Narayana because she doesn't have the bhav. What is the bhav of knowing oneself as Kuloda? What's this word for it? Goswami, a gopi thinks, I am a girl who's been born in the house of a bunch of gopi, and when I grew up to be a young adolescent, I was given marriage to a youthful gopa, or cowherd boy. Only through this type of conviction was the intense yearning to meet intimately with Krishna become powerful. Gopi bhav means to attribute to oneself the mood of being a cowherd boy's wife who has not yet given birth to the child. Vijay, if the sadhak is male, how can he attribute gopi bhav to himself? So this is almost like transgender. A man is thinking himself a woman. So he's saying, how is this possible? Goswami, people don't consider themselves male because they're under the influence of illusory nature imposed by Maya, except for Krishna's eternal male associates, the pure inherent spiritual nature of all others is female. So the consciousness, when I talk female, I talk the consciousness of to be enjoyed rather than enjoyed, to be controlled rather than controlled. Really, there are no male and female characteristics in the spiritual structure. A prasada can attain eligibility to be a Vraja Vasini when he is impelled by Swabhav and the steadfast Abhiman. He says it's really not male and female as we know it in the spiritual world. But you get an eligibility for this when you have the right conceptions. Only those who have ruchi for the Madhurya Ras are eligible to become Vajra-Vatsini-Vasinis. If one performs sadhana according to one's ruchi, one will attain a perfected state that corresponds exactly to the nature of that sadhana. Vijay, what are the glories of being a gopi married to a gopa other than Krishna, Goswami? The Vraja gopis who are married to others naturally become minds of superabundant beauty, extraordinary, powerful, transcendental virtues when the intense hankering to meet intimately with Krishna arises in the heart. So when there's obstacles and you're determined, it only increases your determination. It only increases your desire for the object of your desire, and it increases love for that object. So these obstacles, this tension, creates this intense desire. We know that the desire to please Krishna and the happiness that comes from that makes one more beautiful. So the beauty of the gopis is increasingly is always increasing. And so these gopis are a superabundant beauty and extremely powerful virtues, born of this intense hankering. They also become decorated with the exquisite loveliness of prema. The sweetness of their rasa exceeds that of all the Shaktis and Bhagavan headed by the goddess of fortune. There's nothing more powerful than this love of the gopis for Krishna. This is how he existentially created the world, Rasavaya. So now there's just kind of details about that. Now he's understood the principle. And Vijay, how many kinds of Vraja Sundari, beautiful damsels, are there? Goswami, there are three types, sadhana para, devi, and nitya priya. Are there also different types of sadhana para, sundari? Yes, there are two types of sadhana para, yotiki and ayotiki. No, yotiki and ayotiki. Who are the yotikis? The yotiki sundaris have taken birth in Vraja together in a group. They're being absorbed in the sadhana for the Vraja Ras. In other words, they're members of a particular group. So, this is going to be an interesting point. There's three types of gopis. And now he's discussing the first one, which is sadhana para. And there are two types. And the two types of that one who are members of a particular group and one who are not members of a particular group. And you'll see what those groups are. And when you belong to a group, there's two, Munigana and Upashanagana. You're born, the personified Vedas are born, and the rishis of Dhamma Karanya are born. So it's a group that's born, so it's Yotaki. And there's two groups. Goswami, some munis offered worship to Gopal, were unable to attain siddha perfection. After having darshan of Sri Ramachandra's beauty, they further endeavored in sadhana in accordance with their cherished desire. Thus they accepted Gopi Bhav and took birth as gopis. Padma Purana refers to them in this way, and the Brihad Vamana Purana states that some of them attained perfection at the beginning of the Ras Lila. So there were some who did not become perfect. They were worshipping Krishna, and they didn't become perfect. And then they saw Ramachandra and his beauty, and they understood that Ramachandra was Krishna the king. So that increased their intensity, their endeavor. They increased their endeavor to this cherished desire. Now they saw Ramachandra, and they wanted that relationship to Krishna. It was completely spiritual mood in their heart and increased their efforts. So those are the Muni Gana. Remember, the first group is those who attain by sadhana para, and those in groups and non-groups, these are ones in groups. Now the second group are the personified deities. How did the Upanishads take birth as gopis in Vraja? The Maha Upanishads personified, who were gifted with the extremely fine determination, became thoroughly astonished when they saw the gopis' good fortune. And after performing severe austerities with Shraddha, they attained birth in Vraja as gopis. Okay, that's basically what I can do for today due to so many circumstances. If anyone's there who would like to say hello today, we can just greet people. Anybody still there like to say hello?
And Krishna Maharaj?
For today, Pancha Koka. Hi, Bo. Who is this?
It's Priya.
Who is it?
Priya.
Oh, Priya. Oh, Priya, thank you. I got your question, Priya, and I'll let the answer soon. I've been in Vrindavan, and there's been so many people here. I'm busy from morning to evening, but I'll answer your question. Okay, thank you for listening. Hare Krishna. Okay, why don't you call to do this second if you can.